Discipleship Evangelism 01. What I am about to discuss may quite likely turn off a lot of people. First, let me make this point quite clear. I am not the perfect example. I have my share of problems in my life. I am not living my share of the abundant life. I have not arrived, but I have left. The words you hear me say are not my own. They belong to my mentor who sent me, Andrew Womack, and he is getting supernatural results in his life. He has even seen his own son raised up after being dead for 5 hours and starting to turn black. Unless you are receiving better results than he is, you ought to at least consider the things I am saying. The word says, "He that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me." Jesus sent Andrew Womack. Andrew Womack sent me. Therefore, Jesus sent me. I really believe that this is one of the most important things that I can share with you. Today I am going to talk about something that is really dear to my heart. I mean, this has been a direction that God has given me. It has affected my entire life and everything that I am doing, and I am going to start talking about discipleship, making disciples instead of just converts. I know that when I introduce this, some of you may think that, man, that does not sound like something that is going to be meaningful to me. But I can tell you, whether that title interests you or not, this is something that is at the core of Christianity. Although many of you will not immediately identify with what I am about to say, I encourage you to listen and give me an opportunity. This is going to make a huge difference in your personal life. It is going to answer a lot of questions for you. One of the major benefits of this is, it is going to make you 100% more effective in your ministry to other people. It will also give you a lot of understanding about why the body of Christ is ineffective in many ways. One of the things that disturbs me is, if we have so many people that are claiming the name of the Lord, then why are not we seeing our nation go in a godly direction? It seems like it is marching in exactly the opposite direction. That same principle applies in families on many different levels. On a family level, husbands and wives cannot get along. The divorce rate among Christians is higher than it is among non-Christians. I say all of these things in advance of telling you what the subject is, so that you would not turn me off and say, "You do not need that," or "That does not sound interesting to me." The Lord started dealing with me about making disciples. This is what has turned my life into the direction of being a teacher rather than a preacher. Now I am using some terms here, talking about things that most people would just use interchangeably, and they act like they are the same thing, but they are not. And as I talk about this, I am going to be explaining things that I can guarantee you will make a huge difference in your life. If when I mention the word discipleship, making disciples instead of converts, if that doesn't just make your heart get excited, then I guarantee you that you have missed some revelation someplace. This is really what the kingdom is all about, and this would solve problems. This will change nations. It has been seen to change people. Discipleship has literally been seen to impact nations. I will be giving more details on this. I am trying not to jump ahead on this. I have some charts and things about how discipleship can literally impact nations. The principles of discipleship have led to meetings with a president and the first lady of some nations. It is making a powerful difference. What I am going to be talking about is discipleship. I will be specifically contrasting discipleship with the way that evangelism has typically been done in the body of Christ. One of the major points that I hope to accomplish in this series is that, if the emphasis was on discipleship instead of converts, we would actually evangelize people using discipleship evangelism, rather than through the way that evangelism is being done, which is evangelism discipleship, where you evangelize and then maybe discipleship comes later. No, you make a goal making disciples, and in the process of trying to make disciples, I guarantee you, you will evangelize people. You will see people's lives change. This method, I promise you, will make a radical difference in your life. Then if you adopt these things and begin to walk in it, not only will it change you, but you would be able to start impacting other people on a level that you have never done. Many of you may think that these are things that do not apply to you. I ask you to take my word that this is something that you need to understand. A lack of understanding of this is a major reason why we Christians are not experiencing healing, prosperity, deliverance, and relationships. It is why the church is not making the impact on our society that God intended for us to. The body of Christ as a whole does not have this discipleship mentality. What we have is certain people, such as pastors, or evangelists, or TV or radio ministers, and we believe that those people have a special anointing on their lives. Basically, The body of Christ is depending on God to funnel His ministry gifts and all His power into them. Some of the applications that this applies to are healing. A lot of people do not know how to receive the healing power that God has made available to every one of us. It is God's will that every single person be well. Not a single person is supposed to be sick, Christian and non-Christian. He has already paid for the sickness and disease of the entire world. For what saith the word? For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Romans 8:22. It is never God who fails to heal. Yet, the vast majority of Christians are not experiencing healing, not because God has not provided it, but because they do not know how to receive it. One of the reasons that they do not know how to receive it is that they have not been discipled. They have not reached a place of maturity where they can reach out and take their healing, and then train others to do the same. Now I know that was a long introduction. Nevertheless, I believe it was necessary to introduce the things that are yet to come. What I am going to focus on, and this is the part that I really want to lift up, is unity in the body of Christ among the saints as it relates to the Great Commission. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations. Before I get to the Great Commission, let us first understand that an introduction to the Great Commission and its application to unity of the body of Christ comes from the last words of Jesus as He was about to depart from this physical world. First, let us look at Ephesians 4:8-13. Turn with me there. Ephesians 4:8-13. Here beginneth the reading of God's holy word. Ephesians 4:8-13. 8. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. 9. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. 11. And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. Jesus gave gifts to men in order for the saints to fulfill the work of the ministry. The people who had the gifts were the clergy or the administrators, the apostles, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers. For without a vision the people perish. Nevertheless, the ones who are called to do the work of the ministry are the saints in general. The church is called to do the work of the ministry, not only the man at the front called the pastor. When the pastor teaches and equips the saints for works of service, and they go and do them, that is true success. Now, what is the work of the ministry that the saints are called to do? The point being, there is an expectation for unification of the body of Christ in doing the work of the ministry. Let's look at what that work is. Let us look at Matthew 28:18-20. Here beginneth the reading of God's holy word. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. 19. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now that is a powerful statement right there. I can talk about this for a long time. I read a book entitled The Authority of the Believer, and this is the power-packed statement that Jesus made. Prior to Jesus coming, God did not have power or authority on this earth. He had turned that over to men, and this is why Jesus had to come to this earth and had to become a man. It was because only men, people with physical human bodies, were given authority to rule and reign over this earth. Through deception, Satan got Adam and Eve to submit their God-given authority over this earth to him, and Satan became the god of this world, ruling through men, and Jesus had to become a man. But when he did, he brought back all authority, not only in heaven, which God already had, but now in earth. This is a statement that is just pregnant with a lot of powerful statements in it. Then in the very next verse, he turns around and says, go ye therefore. The word therefore is linking his statement in verse 19 and 20 to what he said in verse 18. Basically, here is what I'm trying to convey out of this. Jesus said, because I now have all power and authority, Now go ye therefore. Thus he transferred his authority in heaven and in earth to all true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is him giving us authority to go teach. So here is what he continued to say in verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Boy, this is powerful, and I want you to notice. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. There is a difference between preaching and teaching. Now I could probably spend a lot of time on that, but let me just basically say, preaching proclaims, teaching explains. With teaching, a person can go and say it is God's will for you to be blessed, and they can proclaim a truth. When a person hears that, it is radical to them. They have never heard this God heals today or God wants you well. So they may be arrested by that and it may get their attention. But then, how do they take that truth and implement it? How do they receive their healing? What is involved? In a way, it is terrible to get a person excited about a truth and then not explain to them how you can receive. It is like saying, you can be a millionaire, and the person says, I cannot be a millionaire. Yes, anybody can be a millionaire. You drop this little truth on them, but then you leave and do not explain. So, how do I do it? What do I do? How do I change from my poverty and my attitude? How do I begin to start prospering? You see, a preacher will come along and proclaim a truth, and there is a place for that. I am not against preaching. I am not against evangelism. I am just against the way evangelism is being done and the way we have substituted that for what the Lord told us to do. He did not tell us to go and preach to all nations. He told us to go teach all nations. The Greek word, I won't try and pronounce it, which is translated teach here, literally means to become a pupil. It was translated to disciple in most translations, that is, enroll as a scholar. So when he says go and teach all nations, he is basically saying go and make disciples and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. A disciple is like his master. He is a pupil, a learner, a follower, and a scholar. It is implying something similar to what we would call an apprenticeship, where you not only sit and get instruction, but you apply it and put the things you are taught into practices under the apprenticeship of a master teacher. I believe that one reason people have knowingly focused on going out and making converts instead of disciples in direct opposition to what Jesus commanded us to do is because they see the situation. They see the statistics about how many people die every day without knowing Jesus. Thus, they enter into a crisis mentality. They feel compelled to get as many people born again as they can, and as fast as they can. The priority is put on conversion. We, the church, have not been making disciples, we have been making converts instead. This is why so many of us, although we have a real relationship with the Lord, and when we die we will go to be with the Lord, still many of us are bitter, miserable, sick, angry, there is unforgiveness. Many of us are depressed, living in poverty, dealing with strife, rejection, hurt, and failed marriages. The divorce rate of Christians is higher than the divorce rate in the world. God forbid. We are not living an abundant life, and it is because of this very issue we are making converts and not disciples. When I say we, the church, have not been making disciples, I am talking about a large segment of the church. There are churches that are doing a marvelous job, but a large segment of the church is not making disciples. This is part of this great commission. This is what God commanded us to do, and I do not know exactly when they changed. I do not know why things changed. But I can tell you that today the church is not going and making disciples. They are not teaching people to observe all things. There is a large segment of the body of Christ that believe that honestly, evangelism is just getting a person born again, and that is what you do. They believe that you ought to be telling people about how they need to get saved, so that they would not go to hell. Whether they mature and stuff is a secondary issue, and is not a main focus. They would like for it to come to pass. But if you went to the average evangelist of a big crusade type of thing, they might have a small follow-up. Yet by their own standards, they would tell you that 10%, maybe 20% of the people who come down and make a confession do some type of token follow-up. That means that 80% just had some type of encounter with the Lord. The Holy Spirit convicted them. They came down, they signed a card, they prayed, but did they truly get born again? Are they ever going to become disciples? The vast majority of all evangelism that the church does today would to admit and tell you, if they were honest, that 80-90% of all the people that are evangelized do not become disciples, yet here Jesus is very clearly saying that we should go and make disciples. We should teach them to observe all things. That is what he commanded. Nevertheless, that is not even a goal of evangelism. Now if it would happen, I do not think that evangelists are against it. They may have some desire for, they may have some token plan for it, but again, very few people will ever follow the potential disciple, unless he diligently pursues them. It seems that personal one-on-one discipling and evangelism has not been rediscovered since the apostles. There is no major denomination in the United States today that has a plan to really reach the lost. Reaching and discipling people outside of our church buildings is a part of Christianity that needs to be rediscovered. The way evangelism in the body of Christ is being done today is completely contrary to what Jesus said right here. Let me give you an example of this. Back about 1980, my mentor Andrew Womack took a really big mission trip. He went to Bombay, India, with an Indian friend of his, Stephen, who invited him to go. Stephen's father was a leader in the Methodist church there. They and several other pastors planned to hold large group crusades and meetings. Nevertheless, there was a riot between the Hindus and some other religious faith, so they imposed martial law the day that they got there. As a result, they stay in their hotel and hid for 3 days. Eventually he wound up going into different Methodist churches, with up to 800,000 or 100,000 people in those churches. It is a very long story, but the trip lasted for 3 weeks, in which most of that time Andrew spent by himself. Nevertheless, despite Andre's vigorous preaching, very few people were receiving what he had to say. The primary reason was because in the attempt to make disciples, the people were told that they had to accept Jesus as their only Lord. They believe in 350 million gods in India, and if you tell them that Jesus is God, they will accept him, but they would not reject the other gods. They still worship Hare Krishna, Buddha and all these kind of things. So he started preaching against this. You have to make a commitment to Jesus as the only way, the truth and the light. When you go into a place that says that they have 350 million gods, and you say Jesus is Lord, will you make him your Lord? They will add Jesus to the 350 million gods. You see, that is not discipleship. That is not true conversion. Other pastors proclaimed that God gave them great wisdom and told them just to get the people to proclaim Jesus as Lord. If they would just make a commitment to him and open up their hearts that he would come in later on, everything else would fall away. That is not true discipleship. There was no way of knowing how many people, out of the hundreds of thousands of people that supposedly were evangelized, even had a true encounter with God and were truly born again. It may have been 100, 200 or whatever. Praise God for those born again. If those few people truly were born again, unless somebody else came across their path, they could have been evangelized but not discipled. It is not fulfilling what the Lord told us to do. I am not saying these things to try and trash other people, but I am saying this is why the body of Christ is not making disciples. Rabbit is not making the impact that the Lord said we would because we are not following his direct actions. He did not tell us to go and make converts. He did not tell us to get people just born again. He told us to make disciples, which again, that definition means a scholar, a pupil, a learner, a person who has begun a process of learning about God. God told us to go and make disciples. He never told us to just get a person born again and then go get another person born again. But if you get a person born again, you have a responsibility to that person to teach them all things that the Word of God has to say. I could compare this to a person who just loves little babies. They just love new babies. They love newborns. I have seen people like it. They just love babies. Once their kids get older, they do not love them as much. They just love babies. You know what? It is not totally wrong to love a newborn. Nevertheless, if you just love babies and you deliver a baby, and as soon as you get it, you just throw it in the corner and say, "Let's go get another baby," I guarantee you, somebody would lock you up. That is child abuse. If you bring a baby into the world, you will have a responsibility to that baby, to nourish him and to help him until he can be completely self-sustaining. And I am not talking about just being able to feed itself, but teaching him the things that is necessary to succeed in life, particularly in our culture, that is through the teenage years. You have nearly a 20-year commitment to that baby. If a person just had a child and threw it over in the corner and said, "If it is human, it will live." If it was truly a human child, then it will just make it somehow or another. I guarantee you, that is irresponsible, that is child abuse. Yet this is exactly what the body of Christ has been doing. They have been going out and holding crusades where they proclaim these truths, that Jesus is the way, the truth and the light. There may not be a single thing wrong with their proclamation. They may present Jesus as the answer, but then to have a person just come forward and pray the prayer, and pat him on the back and say, God bless you. You are saying, let us go and get another person. That is as irresponsible as bringing a child into this world, and then not nurturing him. I guarantee you there are many people that have heard somebody someplace proclaim something about Jesus. Many of you really did receive, and really made a commitment to the Lord, and prayed and received your salvation. There was something that happened on a heart level, not just an intellectual but a heart change. I believe that many people that get born again are what I call saved and stuck. You are saved. You are moving in the direction of heaven. If you were to die right now, you would go to be with the Lord, but do not know how the kingdom of God operates. You do not operate in victory. So in a way you are frustrated, because you have been told that Jesus is the answer, yet you have not seen your deliverance. You have not seen your freedom. You have not seen your joy. You are not living an abundant life, and you cannot turn around and reproduce what has happened in your life to other people. So in some ways you are more miserable than you were before. We sing about heaven, and we are looking forward to heaven and praise God for that. But I tell you, if you had got truly born again and discipled, you would find out that this life is awesome, and that we could live an abundant life right here, and that heaven is the icing on the cake. You would not be just limping through this life. You would not be struggling if you were a true disciple. God wants us to live in abundance. There are millions of people right now that do not have that abundance. You could not get healed if your life depended on it, which it does. You cannot prosper. You are bitter. You are angry. There is unforgiveness in your heart. There is depression. There is discouragement. There is fear about the future. There is all of these things that are inconsistent with true Christianity. And it's because you were not discipled. You were not taught how to walk in the things of God. That is completely contrary to what the Lord told us to do. So what I am talking about is discipleship evangelism, using discipleship to evangelize, and not evangelism discipleship, where we evangelize and then maybe discipleship comes later. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations. Let us be clear. This teaching is expected to come from the saints and is not limited to the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers. Yes, God has anointed them with a special anointing on their life. Yet, the purpose of their anointing is to teach the saints how to teach those in the world. This teaching of those in the world is not a two-month sermon. For those in the world are to be taught all things. Towards the objective of focusing unity of the body of Christ on the Great Commission, we have established this free Bible college, which is an excellent usage of our time, particularly for those of us who are retired and have some time on our hands. We the church have the space that is underutilized. The mission of the church as a whole is to teach people how to teach people, to have a year or more lesson plan, to teach students what to say, what questions to ask, what homework assignments to give. We do not have to start from scratch. There are those who have written these things down for our learning, that we through obedience to the word would not cause God's plan in our life to be in vain. For what did Samuel say to Saul? 1 Samuel 13:13. Thou hast done foolishly, thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. Let there be unity in the body of Christ. Towards the end of, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Do not sit back and wait for those who were given the gifts to do it. You do it. If you do not know how, establish a school that teaches saints how to teach non-saints so that they can go back to their church, their neighborhood, their state or even their country, and build their own Bible college. It does not have to be an accredited school, and you can do it for free. At some point, you may have to or want to charge for a profit, but start from where you are. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations and teach them all things. Everyone's gifts can be used to disciple. There are those who have been working with discipleship programs for many years with great success, seeing people's lives changed and getting real victories in their lives, and not just being born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and water baptized. For these things happen almost immediately. We are missing some things that are falling through the cracks. Everything is not working great. What I am going to share with you is how to bring an inward church to an outward church. An inward church is one where people just sit, listen to the pastor, and go home. An outward church is one where people reach beyond the four walls of the church building. These are the real statistics, 95% of all Christians have never led anybody to the Lord, and 90% of evangelism is directed toward Christians. The church building is the most evangelized area in the world. We evangelize the Sunday school rooms, and we evangelize the sanctuary. The way we evangelize the building, you would think the church needs converting. It was not until the 3rd century under Constantine that church buildings came into being. Since that time, as far as reaching out to the lost, the church has gone inward and hid behind the walls of the church buildings. We want to reach out beyond those walls to turn an inward church into an outward church. Statistically, there are only less than 1% of programs that reach beyond the four walls of our buildings. That says, there is no major denomination in the United States today that has a plan to really reach the lost. Reaching and discipling people outside of our church buildings is a part of Christianity that needs to be rediscovered. Through the Reformation, Martin Luther brought the revelation of justification through faith to the church's attention. In the 1800s, mass evangelism came through John Wesley. But it seems that personal one-on-one discipling and evangelism has not been rediscovered since the apostles. You may say, I don't know how we can implement a program where personal evangelism is very easy. A program where it is easy to work with people and to meet new people at the door through using your testimony. This is what I want to focus on now. If I say, look, this is what I want to do, touch people's lives, get them saved, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and water baptized, people would say, that is great. But if I said now, how many of you want to go with me? There would be maybe 3 out of 200, because the rest are scared or do not know how to do it. Or, if I said, now, forget about it, do not worry about it. You don't have to be afraid. We will use the Bible Studies Forum to set up discipleship lessons for you. How many would want to teach? There would be about 10 or 12, saying, yes, I want to teach, but it would not go beyond that. What I want to do is show you how every gift in the body of Christ can be used to reach the lost, to love and disciple them. It will take every gift, and those gifts are found only in the body of Christ, the local church. Some of you say, I like to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, healing, and things like that. Well, there's a time in discipleship when you can be brought in for just that purpose. Other people would say, I'm not comfortable with that, but can you bake a pie? Can you send a card? Can you make a phone call? Can you paint a fence? Can you babysit for a single mom we are ministering to and give her an hour to herself so she can get out of the house? Can you do the practical things? What about intercession? Some of you are called to intercede, to pray. You can be shown the people being ministered to, given their names, and you can be praying and interceding, alone or in groups, for them and for the discipleship evangelism teams that go out each week. There is room for everyone to reach out to others, to disciple. We can develop a program where every gift can be used. We can develop teams of a teacher and a teacher's assistant who go out in a discipleship capacity to minister. Then two people in the helps ministry can come in behind them to do practical things, like giving food, baking a pie, or calling to see how things are going. We can also have people who are interceding for us and the people we minister to. We can see God change people's lives because they are being pastored and cared for, because His love is being shown to them. And do you know who would be doing the work of the ministry? It would be done by the ones who are supposed to do it, the people. Ephesians 4:11 says the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher are given to perfect the saints so they can do the work of the ministry. Again, the church is to do the work of the ministry, not only the man at the front called the pastor. When the pastor teaches and equips the church for works of service and they go and do them, that is true success. Let me illustrate. If we declared war on another nation and our president said, we lose too many men in war, so I have decided to do away with the army and send just the generals out there to fight, the rest of the world would laugh at us. And really, that is what is happening. The devil is laughing at us because we have sent the generals, the fivefold ministry, to do it all. Let them do it. We are paying them to do it. We have failed to develop an army. God wants to develop that army, and every one of our gifts can be used in discipleship evangelism. We want to help create an army, equipped with powerful tools to disciple, not just here in our city, but reaching around the world. It can be done through the tools that have already been developed, the discipleship lessons and all of the strategies God has given us. God bless you as everyone comes together to use their gifts to minister to the lost, to the new believer, and to keep Jesus' commandment to go and disciple the nations.